The Big 12 has busted out of the NCAA tournament. The Final Four is set. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you find us covering the Big 12. Well, congratulations to the teams who reached the Final Four. That would be one seed UConn in the East. That would be four seed Alabama in the West. 11 seed NC State going to the Final Four in the South Regional, and then Purdue, the one seed out of the Midwest. So we've got two ones, a four, and an 11 seed, and no teams from the Big 12 are in the Final Four. In fact, no team from the Big 12 made the Elite Eight. And I'm the biggest Big 12 fan homer there is. I don't think anyone will advocate for this league like I will. But you cannot spin it any other way. This has been a disappointment, and March Madness was a total bust for this conference that we all thought was the best conference in America. Now, we wondered whether or not they had a top-tier team or two in this conference. That's what many of us thought throughout the season. The depth was there. Teams 3 through 12 could beat each other on any given night. But could they have a team that won a national championship? Now, it's easy to look at this past weekend and say, well, it could have been Houston. Who knows what happens to Houston if Jamal Shedd does not get injured at the end of the first half, and things go differently, of course, in that game in the Sweet 16 against Duke. All great points, and I believe a healthy Jamal Shedd ends up beating Duke. I firmly believe that. But you know what? We're at that point of the season. Injuries happen. Teams are banged up. And if you're a Big 12 fan, as I am, and you're going to sit there and say, well, if Jamal Shedd didn't hurt his ankle, who knows how things go differently? Maybe. But are you guaranteeing they beat NC State? I'm not. I'm not going to say that with a straight face. NC State's playing some of the best basketball in America right now, going back to their ACC tournament victory. So I would not sit here and just assume, well, Houston's obviously in a Final Four if Jamal Shedd doesn't hurt his ankle. And that's not really the point anyway. If you're one ankle injury away from basically not having a team reach an Elite Eight, then maybe you've had a bad March Madness. Maybe you've had a bad NCAA tournament. And that's exactly what's happened to the Big 12. Now, yes, it's a one-and-done tournament. I understand how this tournament works. We all do. We all watch it every year. We all obsess over it every year. But this is when you're judged in college basketball. It might not be fair, but it's how you're judged. It's when you're judged. John Calipari's won a lot of regular season games. He almost got his butt fired in the last couple of weeks because of how he's done in the tournament the last few years. So to sit here and say, well, hey, the regular season was great, the non-conference went well, all that is true. But if you don't show up in March in this sport, the rest doesn't really matter. People don't remember you. And we're now looking at a Final Four that, you know, obviously has a Big East team, an SEC team, an ACC team, and a Big Ten team. Right? You've got four of the Power Six conferences, since basketball, we're including the Big East in that, and the Pac-12 for now. Of course, that won't be the case next year. But in basketball, you've got a Power Six, not a Power Five. And the Big 12 is not represented. And I would not have guessed that 2 or 3 weeks ago. You look at the Elite Eight. The Big 12 was missing out in the Elite Eight. Meantime, you had what? One Big East team. You had Big East, Big Ten, ACC, SEC. And then you had, let's see here. You had Alabama beating Clemson. So you had SEC, ACC. Then you had Big Ten. And then you had SEC, Purdue, and Tennessee. So you had a couple SEC teams. Then you go Big East, SEC, three SEC teams. And then two ACC teams. So three SEC, three ACC, one Big East, and one Big Ten. And the Big 12 is nowhere to be found. That is a letdown of a performance for this conference. I root for these teams. I want them to win. I wondered all year long whether or not they had a national championship contender. I then quickly thought it was Houston. We all did as the season went along. Kansas started to fade quickly. Iowa State came on strong, but then Iowa State got the worst draw of any top seed in the NCAA tournament. they got stuck in the East Regional, which was by far the toughest regional in this bracket. You had multiple conference tournament champions. You had, the defending national champions in UConn. You had Illinois, who won the Big Ten tournament. You had Auburn, who won the SEC tournament, even though Auburn got bounced early by Yale. But you had a lot of depth in that regional. And Iowa State ended up coming up short, of course, in the Sweet 16 against Illinois. And that game was disappointing, too, because that was a game where Iowa State did not look like the confident Iowa State team that we had seen for the last, frankly, a month and a half. The moment looked too big for Iowa State, and that's just not something I thought I'd say ever about this Iowa State team down the stretch. If they were going to lose to Illinois, they were going to lose, but it wasn't going to be because they looked like the moment was too big. And that's what it looked like for Iowa State in that game. Like, that moment on that stage in Boston was just too much for them. And that was as surprising as anything else that we saw this past weekend. So I don't think you sit there and you say Iowa State disappointed necessarily. You get to a Sweet 16. At that point, you're playing with house money. But I brought this up last week. I thought it was a disappointment the Big 12 only got two teams to the Sweet 16. And then nobody gets to the Elite Eight. The Big 12 missed the Elite Eight for the first time since 2015. That was the last NCAA tournament that the Big 12 didn't have a single team in the Elite Eight. Of course, 2020 was COVID. And who would have projected that? We were talking about this team getting 10, 11 bids to the NCAA tournament because of how good this conference was this season and how deep it was and the quality top to bottom. And then they can't get a team to the Elite Eight. The ACC gets three. They were having a down year. The SEC gets three. The Big 12 with a big goose egg. So I don't say this with joy. I'm not happy about this, but I don't think you can sugarcoat it. And I know what many of you are saying. Richard's on Facebook Live right now, and he's saying Houston beats Duke if Shedd doesn't get injured. Listen, I'm not denying that. I said that earlier. But if you're one ankle injury away from your season being a bust as a conference, then you haven't had a good month. You haven't had a good run. And there's no other way to spin that positively. I know that we had the great years of Baylor and Kansas winning back-to-back natties, but now no Final Fours for the last couple of years for the Big 12. Alan says, would you still say the Big 12 underperformed if either Iowa State or Houston wins? Well, I said last week the Big 12 only getting two to the Sweet 16 was a disappointment. Once you get to the Sweet 16, you're rolling the dice, right? You've got the best of the best left. The hot teams are left. I thought they needed three to the Sweet 16 to feel good about it. Four would have been great, but three you'd take. And then you need one or at least two to the Elite Eight, and then one in the Final Four to feel like this was the season that we expected it to be for the Big 12. And it just wasn't. And there's no sugarcoating that at all. JG writes, the loss of Jamal Shedd for Houston was almost as painful as the loss of Colt McCoy in the 09 championship game against Bama. We'll never know what could have been, and we can't say. That is an awesome analogy, JG. Of course, a little bit different because McCoy got injured so early in that game against Alabama. Shedd got injured later in the first half. But your point is well taken. You've got the best player at the most important position in the sport going down in the biggest game of the year. Now, does Colt McCoy end up beating Alabama? I don't know. I don't know if we can say either way. I would lean no. But does Jamal Shedd, healthy, beat Duke? Yeah, I think that. But then did they run into the buzzsaw of NC State? I don't know. So, man, it is painful to see how the season ended as a Big 12 fan. Of course, I wanted it to end differently, but it's not ending the way a lot of us thought it was going to end. I did not think we'd be sitting here a month ago without a team in the Final Four. And heck, I didn't think I'd be sitting here watching Elite Eight games without a Big 12 team to follow. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you find us. Hit that thumbs up if you're on YouTube right below the video. That helps us. Leave a comment as well. Subscribe to the channel if you have not yet. if you think, well, I'm not going to bother with the show, basketball's over. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, it's football season, baby. Let's go. All right? I am so fired up for football season. I can't wait. Actually, you know, I wrote about this on the site today. I hope you have a great Easter, had a great Easter. And it has been obviously a tremendous weekend in a lot of respects if you're a sports fan. But let's not forget, Easter trumps everything. But I look at this moment now as we turn the page from basketball. And I say to myself, we are entering a fascinating 90 days as Big 12 fans. We've got April, May, and June. And then July 1 is going to hit. And on July 1, what's going to happen? Oklahoma and Texas go bye-bye. Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah, come on in. We have been really waiting for this. It's been 3 years now in July that we learned OU and Texas were bailing. This is 3 years in the making. 1,000 days have culminated to this moment that is now 90 days away. OU and Texas saying goodbye to this conference. And it's going to be weird. You know, we've got them, of course, for baseball and softball, and we are fully covering those sports, by the way. We're all in on those sports. We have guys writing about our baseball and softball stuff every single day here at heartlandcollegesports.com. I'm not the baseball guru or the softball guru, but our guys Derek Duke and Brian Clinton do a great job with those sports. But that's it. And then it's goodbye, see you later to OU in Texas. And listen, you see the wall here if you're watching on YouTube. You're seeing horns down. You're seeing the OU sign. And they'll be gone on July 1. But I'm not going to lie. I will miss them. I will. As a Big 12 guy through and through, they are part of the fabric of this conference. Now listen, am I going to miss Texas from the standpoint of all their BS and the egomaniacs and all that other crap? No, I'm not going to miss that. But just as a college football guy that loves the sport, the history, the legacy, the branding, the conference, and all that it entailed the last 25, 30 years, I'm going to miss that. I am. And there's going to be an adjustment period because, you know, for 25, 30 years, you've had those two kind of at the top, at the head of the table, so to speak. And now it is literally going to be a conference that is built around 16 teams that more or less share a common goal, a common vision, and there is not that whale at the head of the table. Now, that can be great for a conference. I think it will be very good for the Big 12. I can't wait to see how it plays out for this league going forward. But it's also going to be different. You know, you're not going to know who's the villain necessarily. Now, it could end up being a guy like Deion Sanders, right? He could end up taking on that villain role, but who is it going to be? You always had it in this conference, and now you don't. And the other thing you're not going to have is that true round robin that we had for so many years. Now, you go back to the old Big 12 days when it was 12 teams, and you didn't have a, you know, round robin. You had the North and the South. You played what? Your entire division, and then you played 3 to 4 teams from the South or the North, depending on which division you were in, and you rotated those on a yearly basis. So things were different then in terms of how it played out. But now, with 16 teams and 9 conference games, you may not see a team outside of once every, what, 3 years? 2 years at the least? So it's going to be different. You're going to have to build those rivalries. It's going to take some time. I think Colorado coming back is good for the Big 12 in terms of having some of those built-in Big 12 North rivalries. Not that they were huge rivalries, but at least they knew each other. K-State, Iowa State, KU. They know each other, of course, in the Big 12 North days. That'll be good. I'm excited for that. But then you're also going to be building up new brands and trying to build up new rivalries and new matchups and things that are going to get people enticed to your game, to your sport, to your conference. And that's something new for the Big 12. That's going to be new for us. It's going to be new for you. Now, I am very confident we're going to cover it better than anybody here at Heartland College Sports, but I'm not going to lie. There will be an adjustment. So we are entering this 90-day stretch of kind of saying goodbye. And not that any of us are going to lose sleep over OU in Texas. I know that in our heart of hearts, a lot of us as Big 12 fans hope that they go to the SEC and just get absolutely blown out. I do. Do I think it's going to happen? Not for Texas. OU might struggle, but I think Venables can get that thing going in the right direction. Are they going to have Big 12 success in the SEC in football? No, that's not going to happen. Do I think they'll miss the Big 12? Sure, absolutely. Do I think they'll admit to missing the Big 12? No, just like Nebraska. I don't think Oklahoma is going to admit to missing the Big 12, just like Nebraska has not admitted to missing the Big 12. But they both will deep down because they knew what they had here. They had the seat at the table. They were at the head of the table. And that is going to be a thing of the past in the SEC, just like it's been for Nebraska in the Big Ten. It's been a rude awakening. And for the fans, great, your team's making a lot more money. But what has it gotten you? How much joy has it gotten you in Lincoln to watch your team go 5-7, 6-6, 4-8 every year? They're making money. Are you making memories? Not good ones. But there will be a transitional period. There's no doubt about it. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. It is great to be here with you. Let's look at some of your comments here and see what's going to be, see what you guys have for me here on the show. This is on YouTube. We're also, of course, on the podcast. Leave that 5-star rating and review. Subscribe to the podcast if you're new to the show. Because trust me, we are going to get a lot of Colorado, Utah, the Arizona schools. Those fan bases are going to be flooding this show sooner rather than later. And we're here for you. Listen, we've been covering the Big 12. This fall is going to be 10 years for us since I started this website. And I had no freaking idea what I was doing. I popped open a laptop in my mid-20s. I said, you know, I'm going to start this Big 12 site and see where it goes. I was kind of going for the Saturday Down South model, but I thought no one covers this league like they should. I love the conference. I was working in Oklahoma. I'd moved to New York City. Now I'm back in Kansas City. And I thought, we got to get some better coverage of this conference. And 10 years later, we're reaching, you know, millions of fans on a monthly basis. And it's because of you guys that this show, that this outlet has grown. So thank you for being a part of it, and really couldn't do it without you. So share the show with somebody, hit that thumbs up, subscribe, and make sure you never miss what we're doing here at Heartland College Sports. Alan writes, Arkansas and A&M never recovered from transitioning into the SEC. You know, A&M has certainly not been through a lack of resources. I don't know if A&M would have been doing much better in the Big 12. They had, of course, that moment with Johnny Manziel and Kevin Sumlin that's going on over 10 years ago now. But outside of that, there's no doubt it's been disappointment after disappointment. And part of that's because of the division that they're in, right? That's made it very difficult for them over the last bunch of years. When you're sitting in that division with Alabama, what the heck are you going to do? How is that going to work out for you? Now, the good thing for Oklahoma and Texas, but I think more of Oklahoma from this perspective, the good thing for them is having the expanded playoff and knowing the SEC will admittedly get more bids to the playoff than any other conference means that Oklahoma does not have to get to the SEC championship. They don't have to win the SEC to get into a four-team playoff or in the old BCS format. They don't have to worry about that. If it was the old setup, Oklahoma would never play for a national championship. That's a fact. I mean, OU is a legendary program. But to think that they would have the kind of success in the SEC that they had in the Big 12 is just nonsense. It's not going to happen. But in a 12-team playoff format, and of course it could grow, they will have a chance every year to get one of the at-larges. And maybe once in a while they bounce in and win the SEC. So the format is better set up for a team like OU to still have very good success in the SEC. But it's not going to be the success they had in the Big 12. That's indisputable. No doubt about it. Mo says the Big 12 should go after Iowa. Listen, I would love to look at some of the old... I would welcome Nebraska back in a heartbeat. I would. I I've said it for years. I know some of you are saying, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I would welcome back Nebraska yesterday if I was, you know, the overlord of college sports and college football in particular. I would get them back in this conference. I would love to make that trip up to Lincoln. I mean, they should be in the Big 12. So much about them is in the Big 12. but it's never going to happen. And no one's going to leave the Big Ten with that money. The Power Two is what they're branding themselves as. And even though Nebraska would have probably more fun and more success coming back, they're not going to give up that stature. Even if it means less wins, the money is what is talking right now in this sport. And nobody is going to leave money on the table. It's just not going to happen. So we're going to be seeing how this whole thing plays out. Vark writes, teams need to realize these players are student athletes. Going from West Virginia to Arizona to play a game would be rough on a player. That is true, but we are seeing the death of the student athlete. Now, if you went to a school that had big time D1 sports, you and I both know that the word student athlete was always a loose use of the word, right? They had tutors. Somebody might have been doing the homework. Were they taking the tests? Were they getting the old gentleman C? You know, there was a lot of that going on. But in the world of transfer portals, NIL money, it is even less of a student-athlete situation than it ever was. These are now minor leagues, semi-professional, whatever you want to call it. I don't know who's doing what schoolwork anymore. I don't know if anybody cares. I think we're almost at the point now where we break off the notion that these guys are in college for anything other than sports. And we basically say, you know what? We're going to teach you how to be a pro athlete and also teach them how to basically run their brands, how to run their name, image, likeness portfolios, teach them social media skills, teach them things that will be of value to them potentially in the real world if sports don't work out. It's basically like a digital media marketing degree, but call it something else where it's exclusively done through the athletic department. The notion that these guys, you know, are going to be flying in from Tucson to Morgantown after a big Monday game in basketball and expect to turn around on Tuesday morning and go to some intro to psychology course is a joke. Those days are over. The regionality, to Vark's point, is gone. There's no point in pretending like it's still there. So that is an excellent point in terms of bringing it up, but I think we need to just cut the cord and get rid of the nonsense and get rid of the BS and realize what exactly we're dealing with here. And it's no longer college sports. It's no longer student athletes. It's semi-professional with billions of dollars at stake and millions of dollars being made. And with that, we are going to be here with you for the next, I mean, forever, but certainly it's going to be a fascinating next 90 days in this conference. We will transition from basketball. We'll do a little bit of baseball, softball, and a lot of off-season football all-in talk going forward. The football season starts today in my book. If you're a fan, you want to be on the show, subscribe to the podcast, subscribe right now on YouTube, and that way you never miss an episode. And hit that thumbs up at the bottom of the video. That helps us tremendously continue to grow this show. Thank you guys for being here. Can't wait for what's to come. And if you're not on the free Heartland College Sports message boards, make sure you're signed up there. A lot of great Big 12 fans that we're interacting with. And as the message boards keep growing, we're going to start putting together some events with those on the message board. So make sure you're signed up. We'll talk to you there. Have a great day. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Check out the site. Go Big 12. We'll talk to you soon. See you later.